The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Thursday, February 24th. We are getting close to the combine, right around the corner. Free agency right after that. Another year of NFL coverage. Another year closer to death. Just kidding. Joining me to break down free agents on defense, the one, the only, Tyler Sullivan. Sully, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, Will? Where do we start?
I think that was like a paraphrase of a movie, right? Like, isn't it? It's a line from Arrested Development. When he, you know, when they're trying to pretend like it's George Senior's birthday party, so Buster won't be upset. And he's like, "Why did you?" He's like, "You got a coffin?" He's like, "That's for his birthday." He's like, "You know, it's a joke. You know, 1 year, you know, 1 year closer to death." Anyway, really esoteric start to this podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6, like and comment on the video. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button and turn on alerts. This is alert season, emergency podcast season for the Pick Six Podcast. We will have tons of free agency pods, I'm sure, trades when they go down, et cetera, et cetera. Aaron Rodgers makes his decision. Tom Brady returns to the 40, you know, comes back to football and plays for the 49ers, you know, all of these things. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, leave a 5-star rating. You leave a review with a question attached to a 5-star rating on Apple. We will get it answered in an upcoming mailbag. It can be about anything, football, life, whatever. Over at CBSSports.com, you can read Sully's top 25 defensive free agent list. We are going to run through these guys. We're going to look at the top 10 on sort of a one-by-one basis. We actually may sort of lump some of these guys together as it fits, and then take a break and then rip through some of the other guys on the list who are notable free agents. Bearing in mind, and this is not your fault, nor is it really even the editor's fault, Sully. These lists are kind of stupid until franchise tags are done.
100%. 100%. Yeah,
like, you're writing them and you feel stupid, you know?
Because you don't, because I mean, you can go through all of this top 25 and there might be a top 12 by the end of it.
Right. It's been this way for as long as I can remember, as long as we've been doing top free agent list. Because once, I mean, maybe Pete Prisco did his like after the, like, but way back in the day, but like, as long as I've been with the CBS, you know, we do these lists and you do them as soon as the Super Bowl ends, you know, and then you're like, wow, this is a loaded free agent class. And then all of a sudden, you know, 8 to 10 tags later, 10 to 12 tags later, whatever it is, suddenly it's very, very thinned out. I will say that I think this defensive class that you've got will largely sort of hit the market. So it's not as bad. Like the offensive side of things that we detailed yesterday with John Breach and Patrick Walker had done that list. I mean, it was kind of a joke. Like, you know, the top guys were just not going to, you know, just a lot of those guys were not going to hit free agency. But I think looking at the top of this list, you know, Von Miller, Los Angeles Rams traded for him. He's said he loves playing in LA, but by all accounts, I believe Mike Garofalo of NFL Media reported he's going to try and test the market. You know, actually, let's put these two guys together because Von Miller and Chandler Jones, both older at various points, elite level edge rushers. Both guys pretty good, decent against the run. I guess Von certainly good against the run. Miller wins the Super Bowl ring. Chandler Jones, you know, had that whole contract squabble with the Cardinals. What led you to put them at 1 and 2 on your list? And do you think either guy will actually hit the market?
Yeah, I think that, you know, you could say technically they'll hit the market. Like Von Miller is a great example. I don't think that the Rams are going to give him the franchise tag, but I ultimately think he's going to re-sign with the Rams. So it's like,
sure.
Yeah, he might hit the market per se, but you know, really it's a formality. He'll go back. It reminds me a lot of what Tampa did last offseason where they just brought all their guys back, especially someone who is, you know, a Von Miller stature. And again, both those guys, I put Von Miller over Chandler Jones just because we've seen him, be a factor in that, you know, quote unquote, that's a cliche, but that winning culture. He's a winning player. He can get you to a Super Bowl, help you be a Super Bowl MVP type of player. And Jones certainly is capable of that. I mean, they both can get after the quarterback. But for me, again, you know, you're splitting hairs. You just put the playoff success over that to get Von Miller at the top, even though my top guy probably won't even be on the market when the thing really rolls around, or at least won't really be on the open market.
Well, no, I think Von's interesting because he now has, you know, he obviously only played for Denver his entire career, traded midway through the season last year, plays 15 total games, 9.5 sacks, ended up, he's now 8-time Pro Bowl, 3-time All Pro, 2-time Super Bowl champ, Super Bowl MVP, Defensive Rookie of the Year, 2010 Hall of Fame All Team. Like, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, 100%.
Nothing, he doesn't have to do anything to increase his legacy or whatever. So if for some reason a team like the Jacksonville Jaguars wanted to give him $25 million a year for 5 years and like 75% guaranteed or something insane, you know, he could say, yeah, you know what? Winning was fun, but I've got 2 rings. I'm going to go make some money. I would guess that he's more likely to go back to LA, but I do think that because in LA with their salary cap situation, I don't think is really a candidate to tag him.
No, I don't believe so. There was a couple of articles, you know, how you can shed cap space and all that stuff. But for the time being, it's pretty difficult for them to do too much stuff like that.
It would be pretty surprising if they tagged him. So I do think it'll hit the market, and then I think it'll probably be, okay, let's see what kind of offers we get and then weigh that against, you know, coming back to LA. Is Aaron Donald returning? Run it back. Cause you know, Raheem Morris will be back. I think that's a big plus for him. Certainly, I think he loved being in LA, and that team was really good, and he played great in the playoffs and down the stretch, and is a difference maker. If they want to try and, you know, make a run to repeat, and you know, that would be. I mean, so, look, you live in LA, you're rich enough already. It's not a bad spot to be in. You know the defensive scheme now. You got great teammates. Wouldn't be that shocking,
though. I think one of the things, though, with Von Miller that we need to watch with, and I know you probably talked about it a ton with Breach, with Devontae Adams, is, well, what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers? You know, what's the situation going to be there? If all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers becomes a Denver Bronco, and it's growing, you know, it's seemingly more unlikely with all of this stuff that he's talking about with the Green Bay Packers, it seems like things have subsided. But let's just say the Denver Broncos get themselves a legit quarterback and they feel like they're in the thick of it in the AFC. Well, I mean, that would be a pretty nice bookend to a career that you could, you know, have your cake and eat it too. You go back to the team that you've made your Hall of Fame career with, and you're kind of still being that mercenary going to a team that's contending for a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and you would have helped your team out by getting them some draft picks and then returning there. And that, look, that was the, for LA, you know, I don't think it's a big deal. That's a cost of doing business. They, you know, they give up the picks. They won the Super Bowl. I think they're perfectly fine with it. Jones, obviously drafted by the Patriots back in 2012. Was it Dante Hightower?
That was the Hightower Chandler Jones year, yeah.
Man, really kicked. It's a good draft.
Hasn't been great since, but, you know, the Driver. New England.
I just mean it's like that sort of kickstarted, you know, the second or the third era of Brady, and or maybe
huge draft for them. Huge draft for them. That second wave of titles was, you know, was really on the
result
back
of a result. Yeah, right. Exactly. Played 4 years for the Pats, then traded to Arizona, where he has led the league in sacks. Although disappointing year last year, I think made the Pro Bowl, of course, but quote unquote, just 10.5 sacks in 15 games, and the Cardinals trailed off down the stretch.
And I'll tell you this real quickly, you know, with those double digit sacks, it is misleading. He had 5 in week 1.
Oh, that's right.
So he just went absolutely insane at the start of the year. And then, you know, so it wasn't as balanced as you might think a 10 sack season would be.
Yeah. This is an interesting one because there have been some contract squabbles between Chandler Jones and the Cardinals. They added Zach Allen in the draft. Back in 2019, didn't they draft another pass rusher? I'm forgetting about. Oh, Zaven Collins last year. I think he plays linebacker, but J.J. Watt, they signed, and I think he was just a 1 year deal when he signed with Arizona? No, he wasn't. He's still under contract, I guess. Yeah. But Corey Peters is a free agent. Chandler Jones is a free agent. They've got A.J. Green, Christian Kirk, Max Garcia, Zach Ertz, Chase Edmonds, James Conner. We talked about a lot of these guys on the offensive pod, you know. It's going to be really interesting to see how Arizona handles this offseason because, I mean, you know, a healthy Chandler Jones who's not washed up not that I think he's washed up, but you know, if he's past his prime, you can't go out and give him a ton of money if you're Arizona and you're worried that he can't be productive. And he is an edge rusher with a resume who could, you know, like you said, have 5 sacks in 1 game. He could get a pretty good contract on the open market, I would guess.
And it's also a weird situation with Arizona because, I mean, you listed all those guys, but also what the heck is going on with Kyler Murray?
Right.
You know, exactly. So, you know, again, you're looking at a franchise that has a lot of questions and one of them being at the most important position. If all of a sudden things go nuclear with Kyler Murray, it would make absolutely no sense to pay Chandler Jones any sort of money there. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. Obviously, they feel like they can contend if they have Kyler Murray in the fold. Does Chandler Jones help them get over the top? For me, I look around and for a guy like Jones, I almost feel like he could be more of a mercenary too, where it's, let me go find a place. I know he's won with New England, but let me go find a place where I can kind of, I made my money in Arizona. I've kind of put up the statistical numbers with the Cardinals. Let me see if I can go somewhere in the league, maybe a Kansas City or a Buffalo or something along those lines to really solidify myself in terms of a resume builder.
So he never won Defensive Player of the Year, but finished second and third, 2 All Pros, 4 Pro Bowls, Super Bowl champ, was on the all 2010s team, which is kind of wild to think about. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but he's probably not. No, he's not a Hall of Famer.
Probably right? Not. Probably not.
He's got the resume with going to Arizona, even though he led the league in sacks and made 2 All Pros, he's still sort of, it's just, Arizona's just under the radar. You know, if he
would really need to have an exclamation point at the end here. Yeah. Like if he signed with the Chargers, for example, and was
him and Joey Bosa's
just wreaking havoc against Patrick Mahomes in that division.
Yeah.
Then you could say, okay, hold on here. Let's see what this looks like. And the Chargers could make a lot of sense too. A ton of cap space could be an option there. So again, that's a route for him. Some
pass rush help. Yeah, that's a good spot. Could the Steelers make sense?
Yeah, that could make a lot of sense. For Brian Flores is a great example. I mean, you know, was with the organization during Chandler Jones's time. I thought it was Miami would be a great kind of pairing when he was still the head coach there. So, you know, yeah. I mean, when you're talking about going onto a defense that has TJ Watt on one side, that will free you up like nobody's business. Yeah. That is something that's extremely attractive for a guy like Chandler Jones. I mean, you saw that even a little bit. It's different, but you saw it at the tail end of last season when Von Miller joined the Los Angeles Rams. I mean, everybody's paying attention to Aaron Donald, and it does free you up with more opportunities.
But did JJ Watt sign like a 5-year deal? No, he's had a 2-year deal with the Cardinals. That's right.
I don't think it was anything long.
Yeah. It was just and then 2023. I know it was a 5-year deal, but it's like 3 void years, I think.
Yeah.
So it's really just a 2-year deal, but he is under contract for the Cardinals. So I would guess Arizona tries to bring Chandler Jones back if he's willing to stick around. But if there's money in free agency, I mean, there's going to be money in free agency, it's not like, you know, we're looking at a premier list of pass rushers here necessarily. I mean, he can definitely get paid out there given his name value and his production, even at his age. JC Jackson, Mr. INT, he came out and said that he would play on the franchise tag, I believe. What's your sense in New England of what the Patriots will do? Because they're always so, I think it's kind of crazy. Bill Belichick loves to push the rules, you know, push the boundary, you know, run up against the edge and push the limits. He's actually always abided by the spirit of the franchise tag, which is very bizarre.
Yeah. So to me, I think what's going on with JC Jackson, again, he spoke to NBC Sports Boston's Phil Perry about this and basically said he hadn't heard from the Patriots and was kind of surprised that he didn't. I don't necessarily know why he'd be surprised per se, because this is kind of how the Patriots operate. They're not going to hit the franchise tag with somebody on day one. They're going to ride this puppy to the March 8th window and make that decision. They did it with Joe Tooney. That was a surprise a few years ago where it just went right to the wire and you're like, oh wow, they tagged Joe Tooney. So that's probably what you can expect if they tag JC Jackson. I just don't know if they're willing to spend that much money. I mean, you saw what went on with Stephon Gilmore over the last few years here. Again, it's a little bit different because JC Jackson's younger and you can kind of see where you could build with somebody like that. But I don't know if they're going to extend themselves as much as they did for a guy like JC Jackson. And you're talking about potentially a market setting deal. I mean, if you look at Spotrac, they're projecting $20 million a year for average annual value for a guy like J.C. Jackson. And Bill Belichick's just not going to do that. Now, I will say, as much as the Patriots won't do it, they've put themselves in a bad spot. I mean, they almost feel like they could be forced to do it because there's nobody behind them. I mean, you could let a Stephon Gilmore kind of unfold the way it did last year because you have someone like J.C. Jackson. Yeah. Right now, you don't really have much of anything. You have Jalen Mills there, but he's more of a slot corner, in my opinion. He moved a little bit outside towards the tail end of last year, but he's not a true number one at all.
Yeah, and if you think about the Joe Tooney thing, it's not like the Patriots didn't want to sign Joe Tooney to a long-term deal. It was just going to be impossible to get anything within reason. Like, he was just going to command massive, massive money. And so I think you could see them tag J.C. Jackson knowing that, okay, we still think we're competitive in 2022. We would like to sign him to a contract. You know, like my point being is, I don't think Belichick tags guys that he's just doesn't want to have around. You know,
he's
tagging them. He's willing to do a deal. But if, you know, J.C. Jackson's going to need $25 million a year, it's just not going to, or $20 million a year, it's just not going to happen. The same with Tooney, you know, whatever, what do you get? I mean, $16 million a year or $18 million a year or something.
It was a sizable amount where you were, you know, especially in the offseason when you lose Tom Brady and you're squabbling over money. It's like, okay, we're going to tag Tooney for all this guaranteed money, but sure. Right. All right.
It was a 5-year, $80 million deal for Tooney with almost $47 million fully guaranteed. I mean, that's average annual. Belichick is not going to pay somebody to be the top. I mean, it's unlikely he's going to be the guy who sets the market.
It's very unlikely. He will try to do what he did with Gilmore a few years ago, what I think he did with Matt Judon last offseason, signs them to aggressively signs them to a very lucrative deal. And then they kind of blossom under his coaching to another level. So he's almost creating value through his coaching, if that makes any sense, where it's, you know, I'm going to sign him because he hasn't really produced to the level I think I can coach him up to, and I'm still getting some value there. So you've already seen that with J.C. Jackson. I don't even know if the Patriots, you know, as much as they have a history of having those, you know, great cornerbacks, whether it's, you know, going all the way back to Ty Law or Stephon Gilmore or, you know, even Malcolm Butler for a time, even after that Super Bowl, they don't necessarily have the to really utilize those like shut down corners. We're going to just put them on this side of the field. They'll put them on the number two guy and just try to erase him and then double coverage the number one receiver. They scheme a lot more than other teams when they have an elite corner.
You don't. Yeah. So like Gilmore, they wouldn't say, oh, go cover DeAndre Hopkins. You know, they'd be like, go cover Christian Kirk, just eliminate him. And then I don't know why I'm using the Cardinals here, but you know, they eliminate Christian Kirk. And then we're going to put two guys on DeAndre Hopkins.
Right.
And maybe they did more with Gilmore in terms of like letting him shadow guys. Also with Gilmore, you know, that was a calculated strike by Belichick in the free agent market, just like Judon. You know, he felt like this is a player who has been underutilized throughout his career. Whereas J.C. Jackson is, we brought this guy up on, you know, we think this guy's, if this guy gets a huge contract from somebody else, it will look bad 2 years in because, you know, his success is partially tied to being in New England. And, you know, frankly, you know, for the most part, Belichick has looked pretty correct about that over the course of his coaching career. Marcus Williams of the Saints, part of that heralded 2017 draft class. And we'll loop in Jesse Bates as well. One of the blossoming super, like a borderline superstar, honestly. Not a household name per se, but, you know, one of the Bengals' best players, key to that playoff run. Both guys have been a little active on social media. Bates tweeted out the eyes emoji, sound like a dad, which everyone was led to believe like he's going to sign a big deal with the Bengals. I would be shocked if Cincinnati let him walk. I think that's a clear-cut franchise tag situation in Cincinnati, especially the safety tag is not even that prohibitive. So you can't have a guy that good on a defense like that and let him walk. And I don't think Jesse Bates wants to leave. You know, it's the team that drafted him. They just were in the Super Bowl. You know, if you look around, you know, like Rob Gronkowski said, I want to play with Joe Burrow. You know, this is a team, somehow Cincinnati is going to be an attractive free agent spot.
Right. I mean, well, you have an ascending team with a very attractive quarterback that, like you said, people want to play with. And yeah, I don't believe the franchise tag is that bad for the safety position. I mean, even Williams, who was playing on it, I believe I read this, he was playing on it last year where it was like $10 million. If he gets tagged again, it's only like 12. You know, it's not that crazy of a number for somebody who you believe, whether it's Bates or Williams, that could be a cornerstone to your defense. And like you said, both of those players, you know, especially Bates there too, I don't believe the Bengals are going to let him go. I really don't. It seems like a tag situation. You have a core that you just reached the Super Bowl with. And as much as we talk about, you know, Joe Burrow and all the receivers he has and Jamar Chase and obviously Joe Mixon in the backfield, that defense was pretty good. I mean, you have BJ Hill in there, you have Trey Hendrickson, you have Bates, you know, deep. That's a good little, you know, that's a good core going into next season to try to defend that AFC championship.
Do, am I crazy? We don't have the numbers, right?
I don't think we have the exact numbers.
We have projections.
Yeah.
Because they haven't announced the actual full salary cap.
No, I don't believe that that's
right.
True.
Right. That'll be coming soon. The, I was like, man, I'm really dropping the ball here. I was like, I swear, I feel like I would know those. So the let's see, where was the franchise tag numbers 2022? I think there were some projected numbers on spot tracking over the cap. Looking like safety is like 13 million. That's not nothing, but safety is sort of the parallel on offense with tight end, where it's gonna be like around $11 million. Yeah. If the Bengals can't work out a deal with Bates, they're going to tag him before letting him walk out the door because they have tons of salary cap space. And then you tag him and work out the deal. The reason you try not to do that is because, you know, one, you bring more guaranteed money into the deal already. The player could, you know, and it's a little insulting to hit him with a tag and then before, instead of working out the deal, you know, if you can pull it off. So yeah, I would expect that, he gets tagged. Marcus Williams playing on the tag last year with the Saints salary cap situation. And I know Saints fans will tell you all about it. They can get under so easily. It'll just be magic beans time. I would expect Marcus Williams hits full blown free agency. And he even he put something on Instagram basically saying it was a countdown to free agency.
Yeah.
I would just be surprised if the Saints tagged him because now all of a sudden you go from, you know, 12 million or 11 million or whatever it was last year, you get 120% of it. It's just, it ends up being a little bit more prohibitive. And I think he's likely to actually hit free agency, right?
Yeah. And that's why you kind of, again, we're talking about these lists. Like, you know, I think JC Jackson hits the open market and I think Williams hits the open market. That's, you know, in a other ranking, that's the number one and number two player on this list right now. When you start eliminating maybe Chandler Jones, who works a deal out, and Von Miller, you know, you're talking about guys that are going to a free agency where teams have plenty of money to spend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Williams is only 25 years old, or I don't know what he's going to be at the start of next season, but you're talking about young players hitting the market. That is a recipe to get paid.
Yeah. And one of the things about the Saints draft class too, is that it's great that you hit on all these guys in 2017. I mean, it changed the franchise. It gave them a shot at making a Super Bowl run. Didn't happen, but you know, they were one of the best teams in football for, you know, 3 or 4 years, and Drew Brees leaves. Now Sean Payton's gone. It's just hard to re-sign that entire draft class, especially when you have all these other cap considerations to deal with.
Right. I mean, again, it's a wave and it ebbs and flows. You get a wave of young talent that comes in, but eventually it's going to come crashing down because you have to pay all of them, or at least find those select few that you want to bring in.
I probably should have looped Carlton Davis in there as well, since he's a defensive back. Whoops. Good job by me. I think the buzz you heard from Rick Stroud pointed this out, and I think I read this tweet twice on yesterday's podcast because I just wasn't listening to Breach, or he read it and I read it. They want to sign Chris Godwin so that it frees them up to use the franchise tag on Carlton Davis. Yeah. And even though the ACL makes it really difficult to sign Godwin, maybe because he's injured, it's easier to hammer something out because he wants that guaranteed money, you know, coming off an ACL. And then, you know, Carlton Davis might be thinking, man, if I hit free agency, like I'm one of the top two cornerbacks on the open market, or one of the top, I guess, Stephon Gilmore, you know, we can go ahead and mention these guys too, I guess. Stephon Gilmore and
Tyrann Mathieu
are both on the list as well. I would say that Carlton Davis maybe obviously doesn't have the same resume as either of those two guys. But I think because of his age, you know, his success early on, pedigree, you know, coming from Auburn, maybe a little more interest in spending on him versus, you know, we saw Stephon Gilmore not exactly drawing, you know, a ton of trade interest for a former defensive player of the year.
Yeah, and you're talking about an injury that he was dealing with. You know, you can put air quotes on that if it was more of a holdout injury type of thing right. that he had with New England. But you're talking about an older player that, again, yes, 2019 was the defensive player of the year. That's not that long ago. And so, yeah, you can say, all right. And I think I think Davis and Gilmore almost have two different markets, if that makes any sense.
I agree with that.
Like, if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, you're going to be more prone to go after Davis because younger player, you can kind of ascend with him on, in that secondary. Whereas if you're like Stephon Gilmore, you're like, why am I signing there? You know, I don't really necessarily, I want to go to a place like a Kansas City if they can't figure out something with Tyrann Mathieu. Or the Buffalo Bills or the you know, Los Angeles Chargers, a team that can realistically contend for a Super Bowl during your kind of twilight years in the league.
Yeah, I think that's about right. PFF, by the way, had projected him going to the Arizona Cardinals on a 2-year, $28 million deal, which would be pretty spicy. Make a little bit of sense. That's kind of a signing that you see from Steve Keim, the veteran, you know, guy who, you know, hasn't, you know, has just sort of fallen off the radar a little bit. We're falling from the peak of his powers. You bring him out there and maybe you hope you get the most out of him. So that wouldn't be shocking either.
One team that I think is interesting, though, really quick, just one thing that's interesting in the NFC West, though, because you're trying to pair these, you know, who's going to have space, who's not, what's going to happen. You know, we're not looking at the 49ers at too much, but if they get rid of Garoppolo, you're talking about freeing up a lot of money and you're cashing in on a young quarterback in his rookie contract. You put Stephon Gilmore on that defense with those guys. I mean, that's a scary defense going against a division where you're going to be facing Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson, possibly, and Matthew Stafford as a defending Super Bowl champion. That's an interesting one there for the 49ers.
The only issue for the 49ers there is how do they handle Garoppolo? And I do think that's a good landing spot. Because if they cut Garoppolo, they're immediately $21 million under the salary cap. And it's easy to sign guys. I'm trying to see if they have a ton of, they don't really have a ton of salary cap relief here. And, you know, the one thing is you don't want to, there's some spots they could pull it off in, but it doesn't look like a clear cut, you know, maybe you can do some restructuring and all that. I mean, obviously those options are always on the table. I think that would make a lot of sense, especially if you're under the impression that the Cardinals are chasing after Gilmore. You know, you try and go and you need to add some cornerbacks. But to the point of Garoppolo, they won't get that salary cap relief in a trade until the new league year begins, at which point in time they would already have to be cap compliant. So
it would have to be bang, bang, really quick to try to even.
I don't think you can, because the trade wouldn't become official until 4 p.m.
Right, but you could make, like, I mean, we had that Stafford deal last year in, like, January, and it became official in March, but we all knew what was going to happen. It's the same thing with the tampering period. You could come to terms and figure all that stuff out almost after the fact, once it becomes official.
No, but I'm saying from a cap space perspective.
Sure.
So, I guess that's true. You could figure out the deal. If you had a trade in place that goes into effect immediately once the league year begins, and then you also have a deal in place through the tampering period where you're going to sign Gilmore.
It would take a little bit more math, but, you know, I think.
Yeah, you just need to get cap compliant. That's doable. It's just not, it's a little, you're sort of just, it's not, you can't just be like, all right, we're going to take our time on Jimmy. We'll see how this plays out. And then go sign. Like, you have to, it's a little bit more complicated than that. You have to have that deal done. The trade done with whoever is taking on Jimmy, and that way you can then approach how you handle free agency.
Which I don't think that's totally out of the realm of possibility, because if you're a team, let's just say you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're trying to figure out your quarterback situation. Let's, you know, I know that they have a ton of skill position players, but like the Patriots went through this last year. you know, is Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith going to want to sign with these teams if you don't know what the quarterback situation is? That was a lot of the speculation of why they were going to bring back Cam Newton, just to say, hey, listen, we have Cam Newton. Come sign with us.
Right.
So I do wonder if, you know, teams are just going to want to have that figured out, especially if they're more in a trade situation than they are in a draft situation.
Right. Yeah. I think if you're trying to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo, you want to go ahead and get the process done, because you can say that people can hate on Jimmy all you want. You know, I mean, the reality is he's a proven veteran starter in this league who is, you know, can elevate his game at various points in time, has been on two deep playoff runs, and is, you know, there's just not a lot out there in terms of the quarterback position. So yeah. I think Jimmy G will be in. And if you're giving up a second round pick for him, doesn't seem like it's
that hard. And lastly, the loop in Tyrann Mathieu. If he does not re-sign with the Kansas City Chiefs, I just feel like he is a Baltimore Raven. He just feels like one of those safeties that have annoyed me throughout my childhood watching the Ravens. So that one to me, I'd love to see it from a football fan standpoint, would hate to see it from a Patriots fan standpoint. So again, that probably is a good combination there.
That's actually where PFF projected him to. 3 years, $48.75 million. Wow. Ooh. That would be a big contract. Man. That's interesting.
Does a lot of stuff, though. I mean, you can line him up in a lot of different places. You're talking about one of the more versatile players.
If you've got a creative defensive coordinator, a creative defensive scheme, you can absolutely move him all over the place, and he's a difference maker when he's playing. I mean, picture like Earl Thomas, Weddle, all these dudes who just show up. It's like, he's probably washed. He probably won't be that good. And then they're just great when they get to Baltimore again for at least like 1 to 2 years. So, yeah.
Tyrann Mathieu
in Baltimore is not at all an outrageous idea. Okay, there was two more people that we can put together. Jadeveon Clowney and Randy Gregory. Cowboys have a bunch of free agents coming up, so I don't know that they'll franchise tag Gregory. Maybe they will. I have a hard time believing they can. He's like a hard guy to figure out because he's got so much baggage off the field. Seems to have cleaned it up, but are you really going to want to give this guy some massive contract knowing right. that he's, you know, one screw up away from another suspension? I mean, I feel like I've written Randy Gregory suspended stories ever since I got to CBS.
That's why I almost wonder if it makes sense for the franchise tag, where I know you're throwing a ton of guaranteed money at the guy, but at least you're not hitching yourself long-term to somebody who, again, is a risk off the field. And so again, that might be, if you're Dallas and you're like, okay, listen, we're loading up again. We feel like we were close. We kind of stumbled down the stretch, but if we get things right, we have a defense that can make an impact with Gregory. Let's give him that 1 year franchise tag, and then we'll go from there and see what happens.
Yeah, I saw that. I think it was Todd Archer reported that the Cowboys are basically going to be picking between Dalton Schultz and Randy Gregory.
Yeah,
but they have a, you know, again with the Cowboys, take it with a grain of salt. They have $22 million and they're $22 million in the red in terms of cap space. But I mean, that's just a team that is not afraid to restructure everybody in the building. Kick the can down the road and then use that tag.
I think Amari Cooper is somebody that they could restructure a decent amount.
Well, and they could even cut Amari Cooper actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although and we talked about this on yesterday's pod, but like the prevailing logic was when they drafted CeeDee Lamb that they would be making a decision between Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup. But it also was sort of thought that they would be able to have, you know, signed Michael Gallup to a long-term deal. And I don't know if you really want to go into the year with like saying, all right, Gallups are two and CDs are one. They can save $16 million in cap space by cutting Amari Cooper. I sort of always thought that's what they would do, but you're right. Maybe you just restructure Amari. He gets a bunch of cash. You get him for another year. See Amari CD tag, see if you can bring back Dalton Schultz or tag your Gregory. Yeah, one of those two. It's hard to imagine a long-term deal for Randy Gregory. And then Jadeveon Clowney, my gosh, has he been a free agent every single year for the last 10 years?
It feels like that.
Yeah. He's just never, I don't know if it was like the timing with the COVID or just sort of his age, how he's sort of progressed with all these, you know, the various attempts at getting free agents market. But like, he's just never going to get that monster deal that people thought he might when he initially left the Texans.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And I think a lot of people, even this free agent period, will look at the 9 sacks and you'll be like, oh, 9 sacks. But then you look at it a little bit more and you say, okay, well, you were playing with Myles Garrett. It's very similar to what we were talking about with like Von Miller and Aaron Donald and these guys who go to these teams that have these elite pass rushers that teams are obviously going to scheme against, and which leaves you open to do more things. So for me, you know, it's tough to look at Clowney and be like, okay, well, he's almost a double-digit sack guy. It's not necessarily the case. For me, he's going to be more of that mercenary, let me go to a contending team for a one-year deal and just try to cash in. Not necessarily ring chase, but you're going to these teams that could use your services. I don't know if he's necessarily like, I need to go get this Super Bowl title to put on my resume. But he fits the bill for these teams that are looking for that one more veteran piece that to kind of put them over the top. It's kind of almost a reverse in that way.
Right. And I can actually see Clowney saying, you know, I had a good year. If I can't get anything to the market, I'm coming back and doing like a 1 year deal with Cleveland and sticking around. I like, you know, I mean, it appears to like the defense, played well in it, you know, not a crazy idea. No. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll look at the back half of Sully's best defensive players list. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So Emmanuel Ogba kicks off at number 11, Devondre Campbell 12, Hassan Reddick 13, Harold Landry 14. Landry, I would think, is probably a franchise tag candidate.
Yeah, I would say so. Again, he popped this year. It was a good year for him. Landry and Reddick to me are interesting. Those are two guys. But if you want, run through the rest.
I don't want to run through them all. But I mean, we can get down to him. I think Reddick is interesting because he played well again after, you know, he had two back-to-back good years. He's Matt Rule's guy. I would bet that unless this Carolina thing is so tricky to figure out because, you know, is David Tepper saying fix it this year or you're gone? And if he is, will he allow Matt Rule to go out and spend, you know, on a guy like Hassan Reddick? Or will Hassan Reddick, you know, what kind of market is there for him? Will he be willing to take a little bit less to stay in play for Matt Rule where, you know, you would think he'd be happy? I think that one's tricky to figure out. Landry to me is just a lock to be a franchise tag because the Titans pass rush was so much better this year. And it's because they brought in Bud Dupree and Landry sort of finally blossomed.
Yeah. I'm totally with you on that. For me, for starting with Reddick, it's just he unlocked himself over the last couple of years here when they move him to an edge rusher and he's got like 23 and a half sacks. It's just
crazy.
He's gone bonkers in that setting. And he's done it with two different teams. Like you said, if he hits the open market, I think teams see that and say, okay, this guy can adapt. He's versatile. You know, who knows what happens in Carolina. I know he's Rule's guy going all the way back to what was it? Temple. Is that where
he played for Matt Rule at Temple. Yeah. Him and Robbie Anderson just get paid by Matt Rule. Good for them.
Hey, it works for you. And then Landry again, like you said, the pass rush was such a big issue for Tennessee going into this past season. and they were able to fix it with it. I mean, he was able to pop for this team. And I always get concerned with those type of players. And, you know, it happens all the time, but you're in that contract year and you just somehow happen to have your best year in the NFL or wherever. You see it in every sport, really. And so, you know, that's always a little bit concerning to say, okay, what, you know, what's your motivation post free agency? How does this work? But he does strike me as a guy. I mean, I watched him a little bit too at Boston College when he was playing here too. I'm not claiming to be the biggest BC fan, but when I hear about, or when Boston is talking about a Boston College football player, at least he's somewhat talented there. So you keep an eye on him.
Yeah. I think at his age, 25, you know, former second round pick, I thought it was kind of a steal. Oh, Spring Lake, North Carolina guy. Shout out. You know, I mean, we'll turn 26 this offseason. Yeah, he was drafted 41st overall. I would be really surprised if the Titans didn't try to retain him because, you know, it's a homegrown guy. And I would, I mean, not that I'm like crapping on your list or anything. I just think you could even push him maybe a little bit higher.
Yeah.
Like I would, if I'm a franchise, I'm way more interested in giving Harold Landry decent money versus paying Jadeveon Clowney, you know, a one or two. Yeah. You know, and they're different, you know, they're different players. Obviously.
Well, that's what's tough with lists like this too. It's like, the same team that necessarily is interested in Landry is maybe not interested in Clowney. So you're like, okay, you know, how does it work?
To your point, you know, if you're the Jaguars, do you go and get, do you let's say they hit the free agent market. Do you go sign Carlton Davis and, you know, and Harold Landry and try and, you know, inject your defense with some youth and some talent and put, you know, Harold Landry across from Josh Allen would be spicy.
Yeah.
You know, say like, you're not going to get Jaguars aren't going to sign Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, it's, you know,
right. Exactly.
I mean, maybe they would.
How about this? It wouldn't be smart. If you're trying to build something,
right.
Clowney's not going to do anything for you in the next, he's not really going to do anything for your franchise. You might make it look, the stats might look a little bit better for 1 year, but that's really about it.
He's not going to put you over at the top.
Yeah.
Quandre Diggs, Akeem Hicks, Casey Hayward, Marcus May, DJ Reed, Steven Nelson, BJ Hill, Tre'Davious Ward, Jerry Hughes, and Justin Houston round out the top 25. But again, it's a, you know, Justin Houston, same sort of thing. Like,
same thing.
You know, if you're a team that's trying to sort of build something, you know, not like Justin Houston be bad. You know, I mean, he's, you know, leadership, it's great skill set. But are you going to go out and, you know, pay Justin Houston? Or is it, and does Justin Houston want to play for a bad team? More than likely not. BJ Hill on here is really interesting to me. And I know I'm a state homer, obviously, but he, you know, he was traded in the middle of the year by the Giants, who had drafted him in the third round. He goes to Cincinnati and has, I mean, probably his best, or was he traded in the offseason? He was traded in the offseason.
Offseason, yeah.
Yeah. But under Lou Anarumo, he has his best year. Obviously, he was traded midseason for some reason. I mean, he probably had his best year by approximate value. It's the best year since his rookie year, 5.5 sacks, you know, 12 QB hits. He's just a different player in Cincinnati. And, you know, part of that could be him, you know, coming into, you know, we're obviously way too quick to be like, oh, this guy has been 3 years. He stinks, you know, like,
right.
And it was a contract year for him too, but I think
played well in the playoffs. I believe he, you know, had an interception, you know, and a tip ball. Yeah. Like he felt like a piece to me that was, you know, right there with the Jesse Bateses and the Hendricksons. And he was a part of that defense for Cincinnati to get to the Super Bowl. I mean, he was one of those faces, in my opinion.
He actually might be, Sully, I sort of wonder if he isn't a franchise tag candidate as well. Defensive tackle, $17 million projection. That is expensive. Is that right? Defensive tackle is like basically about even with defensive end now. That's crazy to think about.
That is wild.
If they sign Jesse Bates,
Donald does something. Maybe that's Donald bringing it up.
Yeah, that's right. The salaries have been cranked up. I guess you could. That's pretty rich for BJ Hill, unless you think
that's rich for a team. And again, this is what's interesting. You know, you're talking about Jesse, two guys on the Cincinnati Bengals, both defensive players that are going to be free agents. You want to retain them, but also, what was your number one issue this season? You have to spend money on the offensive line too, and there's no other way for you to fix that. You know, you can hit on the draft, but that's one position, I guess.
For the first time in a long time, you have like a 31st pick, not the
fifth. Right. Exactly. It's a great point.
And Breach's point was he thinks they like their tackles enough where they'll keep Jonah Williams and Riley Reiff and then look to sign a guard in the market, whether it's a Brandon Scherff or somebody else.
Okay.
So if that's the case, I mean, the Bengals have a ton of salary cap space.
Yeah.
You could, in theory, sign Jesse Bates to a big deal, and it could be like a top safety deal the way that he's played. That'd be fine. Tag BJ Hill, if you think, you know, he's probably not worth it. I don't know. They had all these guys go down with injury. And so he sort of stepped into a bigger role late in the year.
Right.
So
I don't think he's necessarily breaking the bank either. When you're talking about a guy that's been traded already in his career, I think that fairly unfairly kind of just puts you down a little bit in terms of what you get for a contract, even though it worked out in Cincinnati.
He could probably, I mean, yeah, maybe he's like, I love being in Cincinnati. I want to stay here. And, you know, I'm going to take give me a 3-year deal that's not outrageous, and I'll stick around and play for this team it's wild how, you know, Joe Burrow, and this is true with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and any, you know, when you have a franchise quarterback who you think can take the team over the top and go to a Super Bowl, it makes it more attractive to go there. I mean, Cincinnati's been a joke for years, and now they're going to have interest in there. They won't be players in that initial. You know, Breach mentioned Brandon Scherff. I don't know how aggressive they'll be in that initial wave of free agency. It's just not sort of how they operate.
Yeah.
And I think Hill would probably be a second wave guy anyway.
So I would think so. Yeah.
So maybe there's something to be worked out before the league year even starts if they really like him as a player. We'll see.
And you can also, you know, you can also go the route, and I know the Patriots do this a lot, where it's, you know, if you are working with a player that likes the franchise and you're not in that franchise tag situation like they are right now, Cincinnati's with Hill, go test the market. Come back to us with what you have, and we'll see if we can get close or match the deal.
Yeah, I mean, 1 year, 17. That seems stout for.
That would be pretty high for a guy like Hill too. I mean, it's not like we're talking about.
I mean, Aaron Donald at 22.5, DeForest Buckner 21, Chris Jones 20, Jonathan Allen 18, Vita Vea 17.75, Kenny Clark 17.5. Did they just restructure him? Fletcher Cox 17-1, Grady Jarrett 17, Cameron Hayward 16-4, and then you get down and it's DJ Reader at 13.25. Yeah, I don't think you can't franchise tag him unless that projection's off and it's like $13 million. Then it's fine.
Yeah.
But it would be, you're not going to give him a tag that's going to pay him more than DJ Reader, who was awesome last year. Yeah, that would be. Yeah, that's yeah. Hill's more like you give him a 3-year contract for $10 million or something, like $10 million a year or something like that.
Yeah.
And that tag is just too prohibitive. If it ends up being that number. All right. Anybody else you want to touch on this list?
No, I think we hit most of them. The only one that I think is relatively interesting and probably would have been higher on this list had he not suffered an Achilles injury this season is Marcus May, someone who is the classic. Once you leave the New York Jets, you're going to be a lot better. And he was already playing well in a more expanded role in that secondary in the absence of Jamal Adams. He's somebody who could be maybe it's a 1-year prove it type of deal that will end up looking like a steal if he comes back healthy and all that. So for me, Marcus May is one that probably would have been a little bit higher on my list had it not been for the injuries.
Yeah. A lot of BJ Hill talk in this podcast. I'm shocked. all right. That's it. That's a look at the defensive free agents. Obviously the list will change. If you want to check out the list, go to cbssports.com. Follow Sully on Twitter at Tyler Sully. And we will, I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon, buddy.
Awesome. Thank you.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.